What you just heard there is the Black Keys, probably one of my favorite bands right now. There are certain bands you guys out there listen to and you just can't get enough of their music. You just kind of just play their music over and over and over. Right now for me, that's the Black Keys. And what you heard was The Weight of Love. It's probably one of their more bluesy song, but it's just an amazing song. It starts out really soft and mellow, real, you know, melodic, and it just turns into a rock and roll anthem. Everybody's going to hear this on the podcast. I put this on my podcast so you guys know what I'm talking about. I know a lot of you guys don't listen on Anchor, and you can only listen to certain music on Anchor, but I put this on there. I'm hoping I don't get no sort of copyright infringement something on there, so if I do, I'll stop doing it, but until then, I'm going to keep doing it. The Black Keys, the explanation of The Weight of Love. It wasn't until we recorded the song, and it's a two-man group. It wasn't until we recorded the song, Weight of Love, that we figured out how we wanted to start the record. Once we finished that, we knew that that was the beginning of the record. Vocalist Dan Auerbach told the BBC that as soon as the Black Keys had finished laying down this track, they knew it would be the first song on the record. We like the journey it took you on. We like how it started so hush, and this is him quoting. We like how it started out so hush. And like I said, the song, it starts out really mellow and then it just turns into an awesome rock song. It demands your attention in a different way in any of our other recording opening tracks. So they started off with their opening track with this, The Weight of Love, and it's just an amazing song. If you guys can look it up on YouTube or download or whatever. If you've never heard of the Black Keys or you always wanted to know what their music was about, they're an amazing, amazing band. Weight of Love is an epic song. So you just go ahead and look it up and you'll end up loving it and playing it in your car over and over. But that's pretty much it for the opening artist this week, the Black Keys, The Weight of Love. And let's get on with the show. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk eBay, episode 21. I'm your host Johnny with Sin City Hustlers. You can look me up under Sin_City_Hustlers. Go ahead and give me a follow there. This week, of course, we're going to go over my weekly sales, eBay related news, and weird listing of the week. This week we do have a reseller on. He is a really nice guy. When I went to the Hustler Hacks meetup during eBay Open in July, he was already there when I went to the meetup, and he, you know, came up to me and introduced himself. I said who I was. Really nice guy, just easy guy to talk to. His first name is Zach, and he goes by the Instagram handle The Hustle and Muscle. So go ahead and give him a follow, follow his journey as a reseller. But let's get him on and let him tell his story as a reseller. Let's get him on.
Hello, Zach.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Johnny? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Nice to talk to you again.
Likewise, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for agreeing to come on. My show is based around interviewing resellers and getting their journey and, you know, hopefully inspire other people maybe to do the same thing. Where do you live?
I'm in California, Southern California.
Oh, okay. Whereabouts?
North of LA in Panorama City.
Oh, okay. All right. I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in Orange County. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. When I first met you, we met at the Hustler Hacks meetup, right?
In Vegas, yes.
Yeah, and you were at eBay Open.
Yes, I attended eBay Open.
How was that? How was that experience?
To be honest, it was okay. I mean, I think it was towards the beginner level or entry level sellers.
Yeah.
Not really so much of the intermediate and advanced. But I think, you know, it was really helpful as far as like a refresher for me.
Yeah. Would you say it was more like you're an experienced seller and there was a lot of experienced sellers that attended? I didn't go, but I did interview some resellers that did go. And the one thing that they liked about eBay Open was the networking with other resellers. Would you agree?
Yes, the networking was awesome. I mean, just finding or meeting different people from, you know, different walks of life, you know, coming together all in one and seeing what they sell, you know, not in the same field or whatnot they're into. I mean, the same niche that we're into. Just amazing what you can resell.
Right. And with that being said, how did you discover reselling?
To be honest, my wife had fallen into it before I did.
Oh, okay.
Back in 2015 of February, I had lost my job. I used to work for a title loan company right here in Southern California, and we used to deal with the whole United States. I used to be the repossession manager. We used to repossess cars. So,
oh,
I dealt with a lot of, you know, fun stuff.
Did you do the paperwork for that, or were you actually repossessing cars?
Oh, no. So we were the title loan company. We hire outside repossession companies to go and go ahead and repossess cars. So we were, you know, the back end of it, you know, coordinating the pickups, the auctions, to, you know, liquidating the cars and stuff like that. Finding the cars was the hardest part.
Yeah. Would you say that you probably got a lot of angry phone calls?
Yeah, I've heard a lot in my lifetime already. In this short lifetime.
So your wife discovered, was actually your wife, you said your wife was, yeah, discovering reselling?
So my wife, she started couponing at first. So
okay.
This was when I was still working at that loan company. So she started couponing, and, you know, she started racking up on, you know, diapers and you know, dishwashing stuff and just all kinds of stuff. And we started piling our garage with a lot of items. And, you know, we saw that all these items were just sitting here, and we were like, you know, this is going to last us, you know, till who knows when, you know, Armageddon.
Forever.
And so, you know, she started, you know, we can flip this for profit. You know, she's getting this for pennies or sometimes free. And so we started, you know, selling it for cheap as well to, you know, friends, family, whatnot, and you know, coworkers of ours. And, you know, that started to be a good business, but it wasn't turning anything. And then I lost my job in 2015. And Tracy, my wife, she found the Hustler Hacks channel, and she stumbled upon it from reading some article online saying that, you know, this guy Glenn had paid off his student loans, you know, through reselling, and all he was doing is selling shoes, whatnot. And, you know, I dabbled into a little bit, you know, because I was selling all some of the stuff that I already pre-owned.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we came across this channel. We started listening to all this stuff. I'm like, I like shoes, man. You know, that's something that I'm into. So let's dive into that. So that's how we got started with Hustler Hacks channel.
Well, Well, that's a good niche, wherever you want to call it. But it's usually when people resell, their niche is going to be something that they're really interested in, like you or Glenn from Hustler Hacks. You know, he's into sneakers, you know, jerseys and stuff like that. He likes sportswear.
Yes.
Mostly sneakers. So, you know, you kind of go where you're comfortable. And after a while, because when I started first, when I was first reselling started, it was just all clothes and then women's clothes, you know, you can get it dirt cheap at the bins. And now I'm slowly trying to transition into sneakers, like baseball jersey, football jersey, sort of like what Hustler Hacks is doing.
Right.
So how long have you been selling?
So since 2015 of February, I got out of the corporate world, and you know that I didn't fall into reselling. Actually, you know, like I said, the wife was doing it already, and she stumbled upon the Hustler Hacks channel, and so I was, you know, on the verge of, you know, starting to resell. I started doing, you know, the whole entrepreneur thing and trying to do, you know, Uber and Lyft. And then, you know, when I take the breaks, when there's, you know, when it's really slow here, from picking up people, you know, because there's certain times you pick up people, and when it's slow, you're in a neighborhood, and there's a Ross, a TJ Maxx, there's a Marshalls, there's a Goodwill. So whenever I'm around these areas and it's a slow time, you know, I'm picking up stuff, or I'm in the stores looking at stuff, you know, seeing what I can resell, and at the same time, you know, everybody's going when. Live and I'm on, you know.
Yeah.
Stop everything and listen.
Yeah. Have you had any experience being an entrepreneur, sort of like your own boss, or just something that because you started to resell something that was new to you?
You know what? To be honest, from being in that title loan company and managing that side of the business, you know, it felt like I was already running a business myself.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of the repossession companies that I spoke with, the owners and stuff, they were like, why are you there? You know, you're so capable of doing so many things. You know, you're innovating their technology and you're not even getting paid for it. You know, when you can innovate in yourself, you know, motivate, inspire yourself, like how you are in your own business, and you know, you can succeed.
Right.
And so that kind of helped me, you know, help push me out of the door, you know, besides me getting fired.
Yeah. That would, you know, motivate you a little bit. Right.
Yeah. So ever since then, I didn't, you see myself going back to a 9-to-5 job, to be honest.
Right. See, that's one of my goals. I've said this in previous podcasts with other resellers. I'm like, one of my goals is to become a full-time reseller. Because right now I'm part-time and I work a full-time job at a casino here in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of my goal, like my goal right now is to go full-time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the hardest step is the first step.
Right. Right. Besides Hustler Hacks influence you to start reselling, was there any other person that helped you, you know, kind of push you towards reselling, or was it just Glenn himself?
You know what, to be honest, before Hustler Hacks, there was a channel that we used to subscribe to. I mean, we still subscribe to them, but we kind of dabbled with them. You know, that's where we kind of fell into it. We started off with Amazon at first.
Okay. So
we started off following this couple. They're called the Selling Family.
Uh-huh.
And the Selling Family was basically a husband and wife deal. And then they had a baby. And, you know, ever since the baby was born, that couple has been reselling. And so the baby, their child didn't know nothing about but them, you know, reselling as a baby all the way up until now.
Yeah.
That kind of inspired us because, you know, we are at that point where we're like, you know, we need to buckle down, you know, getting old, you know,
yeah.
we already have a house, you know, where, you know, we want to retire, you know, happy, not miserable in, you know, the corporate world.
Right, trying to make ends meet and, struggling to pay bills and stuff like that, right? You just want to live comfortably, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of resellers' goals is to like live comfortably, or they want to make an actual business, like a brick and mortar, or some they just want to make their own money and live how they want to live, just travel when they want to travel and sleep in and stuff like that. So
Right. And when I was in the corporate world, I used to do the traveling and stuff like that. I used to go to different auctions, all over the US and meet different people. I go to conferences and stuff like that. And dude, I was the first one in, first one out at my job. And I was never home. There was every time I go home, it's just hi and bye to the wife and that's it.
Yeah.
I only see her basically on the weekends or she's sleeping by the time, I get home.
Do you and your wife do you guys do it together, or is it just you mainly, or is it something you do, as a family?
So currently I run my own eBay store.
Okay.
She runs her own eBay store and I also run Amazon.
So you have two different eBay stores and an Amazon account?
Yes.
That's awesome, man. Is it two different kind of niches? Is that why you have two stores?
Yeah, so my wife does all the bins, the thrifting and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I do mainly new stuff.
Like the sneakers and stuff like that.
Sneakers and other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's awesome. How can people find you on social media?
On social media, my tagline is the hustle and muscle.
And it's just do you have just an Instagram? Do you have Twitter or Facebook or
Just the Instagram.
just the Instagram
Yeah.
handle? What is your daily routine? I know you gave a little hint of it, when you were driving Uber, but what is your daily routine now as far as sourcing?
Well, currently right now I don't do the Uber and the Lyft. So typical day is me getting up in the morning, preparing my wife's breakfast, lunch, and snacks. She still goes to a 9 to 5.
Okay.
So I prepare her breakfast. I make sure that I get my meals in as well, my breakfast. And then I start the day by shipping. I ship all my products dead in the morning. And
Right.
right after that I check, I go through my inventory, and as everybody has death piles. I have
Oh
a death
yeah,
pile.
you should see mine. Mine is just ginormous right now.
It's not really a death pile. I mean, I have already everything listed. It just need to be, tagged and put away pretty much. And I'm in the process of cross-posting on different platforms. So I'm selling on a lot of different platforms as well. So that
What other platforms is it? I see on your Instagram that you're, is it eBay, Amazon, and what's the other one?
eBay, Amazon, Poshmark, OfferUp.
Do you do Mercari?
And you know what? I dabbled into Mercari, but a lot of my listings got deleted
Oh.
because they say it's stock photos or whatnot. I just take really great photos, to be
Oh
honest.
wow. And they thought you were using stock photos?
Yeah, so I just, you know what? I don't want to bother.
Right. What would you say is the eBay probably your most profitable platform, or do you get a lot of sales on Poshmark or?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's right now the main income stream is, I think, for me, Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you do FBA, or do you do seller fulfilled?
I do FBA, seller fulfilled, pretty much both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is easier for you for Amazon? Is it FBA, or is it, seller fulfilled?
Currently, seller fulfilled is the easiest for
Really?
me. Yeah.
Is
Having
that?
the inventory shipped to the location and whatnot,
Yeah.
it kind of takes a long time for it to, hit inventory or once it gets in inventory, sometimes they transfer to a different warehouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it
yeah, I've heard issues with that where they send you send an FBA shipment and it takes forever to get there, and then like you said, they'll transfer from one warehouse to another. They'll like split the products up into different warehouses, right?
Right. I mean, it's not so bad right now. I mean, currently we don't have as many products as we'd like, but I mean it's manageable that I can stay at home and ship everything from home, and it's more profitable, I'd say.
That's awesome, man. I have yet to, and I've said this in many podcasts, is I have an Amazon account. I just have not utilized it yet. I haven't really sent anything in to FBA.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that's one of my goals, is to start selling stuff on Amazon. You know, not just to stick with one platform. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just eBay right now, part-time.
Right.
And I have my full-time job. So my thinking is, I don't want to overdo it where I get, frustrated or burnt out or anything like that.
Right.
So, I want to gain the experience from selling on eBay and then, maybe move on to Amazon. And I did start cross-posting on Poshmark. So I do have a Poshmark closet.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, the more eyes you have on your items, the faster it'll sell.
Right. That was my thought process on it too. It's like, why stick with one platform when you can reach out to other buyers on other platforms and, mm-hmm. and make money that way.
Right. And so like the same thing applies as you know, everybody hit their summer slowdown. Everybody's saying, it's slow here on eBay and whatnot. My other platforms were killing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's weird how eBay works that way. It's like, yeah, summer, everybody's like expecting it, summer slowdown. Everybody's like, bracing for it,
uh-huh.
And then I hear I hear from other resellers is what I'm saying is like during the summer, they're like killing it on eBay, but their other platforms were slow, sometimes it's the reverse, so. I did experience a summer slowdown. I have, my sales were like not as well as they're doing right now.
Right.
Did you experience summer slowdown or was it just consistent?
It's slowed down on one platform and then it picked up on another.
Oh, okay.
And the thing with my products, I mean, I do have mainly what, shoes? Yeah, I mainly have shoes. But there's outerwear, there's bags.
Yeah,
there's a lot of items that you can sell, and if you do stick your all your eggs in one basket, and you put 100% into just say shoes, for example, you're gonna hit a wall somewhere.
Oh yeah,
not unless you spread yourself out and diversify, what you're selling.
Right.
They say shoes is like tires, shoes is like tires. Cars need tires to move. So, like people, we do need shoes to move.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a year long thing, whatnot, but some of the shoes are, seasonal. So, and there's a lot of products out there that you can actually flip year round, hint, hint.
Right.
Other
things. And I think shoes is one of those products that you can sell consistently year round, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like you said, the shoes are like tires, they wear out eventually, so people need new shoes. So when I interviewed the Hustle Bee was kind of hinting like, yeah, that's why I sell shoes. It's mainly because I'm a sneakerhead, and the other is people need shoes, so
right.
It's a consistent sales for me is what drives me to keep selling shoes.
Right.
What are your goals as far as reselling?
My goals as far as reselling is to have my wife quit her 9-to-5 job and do this full time with me.
Yeah.
Therefore, we can, possibly raise the family, just at home or vacationing, sourcing and stuff like that, instead of going out and looking.
Clocking in, clocking out.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the end goal is not to do anything and have employees do it you know, I just, you know, go back to my managing side and I just manage people again.
Yeah.
Or just pay somebody to manage them, you know? That would be the end goal, I would say.
So your end goal would be would just keep the business running, but just, you know, have a couple of employees run it for you and
right.
you just kind of oversee everything?
Yeah, the manual side of it. The other part of it we were looking into is private label.
Okay.
Me and my wife were, you know, dabbling into different things, and you know, you don't make money, you know, being scared.
Right.
You know, scared money don't make money. That's right. You know, that's what I like to live by.
I agree.
And so, you know, you got to take risks. You know, whenever you know, you think it's a great time to do it, you know, an educated risk. So like we were looking into private label and we see that some people are, you know, doing well on it and some people that, you know, have failed on it. But I mean, you don't see success without failure. So,
right. I've seen YouTube videos of people who have do private label on Amazon. And, you know, when people first start, this is what I've seen on YouTube, mm-hmm. is when they first started private labeling, they actually failed a couple times because either the product failed or the marketing failed, or, you know, people just weren't buying what they were selling. And it took them a little while to figure out, you know, the logistics and the marketing part, and then finding the product to sell that to people on buyers or Amazon, you know, what they want to buy.
Right.
You know, I've seen a lady on there who was like had 40 private label products on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
something like that, and she was making like $500,000 a month in sales.
Yep. Yep.
Which was ridiculous to me. I'm like, $500,000 a month, man.
And you're talking about not doing anything.
All right.
You're doing is, you know, replenishing your product, calling your, you know, your supplier, and refilling your supplies. That's it.
Right. Right. You know, I think the hard part is just finding the right product that people want to buy, you know?
Well, yeah, it is.
Cause I kind of dabbled into private labeling before I started eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe I should start eBay first and kind of build a little bit of capital.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, go back into private labeling. But I did research private labeling and it, you know, it seems like a good thing to do, you know, in the future for me at least.
Right. Yeah, so like currently we're at that point where we are building our capital, you know, with inventory, and then we're going to, you know, take some of that capital and put it towards the private label side of it.
Right.
To fund it basically.
Right. I mean, that's the smart thing to do, I think. That's what I did, so
you know, yeah. that way, if it fails, you still have the other business going.
You right, know? You have like a backup. Right.
Right.
One last question, Zach. What advice would you give a brand new seller, either eBay or Amazon or whatever they want to start reselling on? What advice would you give a new reseller?
One advice, not to kill the market. I mean, there's enough to go around. There's enough money to go around. I mean, there's a lot of quality products that a lot of people purchase, a lot of new resellers purchase, and they're into that quick flip game where they're making only $10, you know, $9, $8, $5. I mean, it's all up to you. I mean, if you do want to pick up all these products, that's fine. And you can flip them for whatever money you want to make, but don't, you know, when you kill the market that way and you don't hold, you know, long tail or whatnot, you know, you're in it just to flip $5 to $10. Then
right.
That's fine. You're looking towards, you know, having employees work for you. And I've done the whole in the corporate world.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've been in the trenches. I've been an employee, you know, so, I mean, I've done the numbers. And you know, you can be that person. It's all up to you. If you're in the grind, you want to do, you know, you want to be in the trenches for a long time and be tired, go ahead and do the quit flip game. But you know, my motto is, you know, get quality products, sell them what they need to be sold at, you know, the right price, you know, based on history.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should be good. I mean, when I first got into the game, that was my, I would say that's my absolute one problem, because we started off with Amazon, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
So with Amazon, you know, it was pretty much our model was, you know what, let's just get $10, whatever we scan, you know, if it's over $10 that we can get after, you know, fees, shipping and whatnot, you know, cause we used to, you know, we still have the scanner. So we scan products, and if it made $10, you know, it made sense. Let's go ahead and, you know, flip $10. Let's make $10 off this. And then, you know, we'd ship it into FBA, it'd make money, but it's just $10.
Right.
You know? And you'd have to look for more products for $10. And then, you know, the season dries out. Now you're, you know, you're looking for inventory. You have all this money looking for inventory, but it's not there because you already sold all the quality products.
I think that's really good advice. I agree with that. Because when I first started, I was doing the same thing. It wasn't with Amazon, it was eBay. It's like I was finding things, and if it made more than $10, I would keep it.
Yeah.
You know? And I've come to the point where it's just not the thing I want to do anymore. Like the quick flip. And I want my profit margin to be a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I'm starting to kind of move away from the just regular like men's and women's clothing into like sneakers and jerseys and, you know, just sports related, you know, stuff, you know, because the profit margin is a little bit better with those and just a quick flip on like a pair of jeans or a blouse or something like that, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah. Being an entrepreneur, you're not looking towards working harder. You want to work smarter, not harder.
Right.
So, you know, instead of being the grunt, you know, you can be the boss.
Right.
Be the boss.
And I think that's what most people want when they start to resell, is just to be their own boss and to work their own hours and, you know, just do what they want to do and, you know, make some money while they're doing it. But yeah, that's great advice, Zach. I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show. You're a great guest, and hopefully we'll get you back on again and catch up with you.
Thank you, brother, for having me on. Aloha.
You're welcome, man.
Mahalo, all right, brother.
Have a good day.
You too, all right, brother.
Mahalo.
Talk to you. Bye.
Now it's time for some eBay news. This one comes off of hiphopwired.com, and I actually came across this article today, and it was kind of interesting because I know there's a lot of resellers out there that I know and that I follow on Instagram that are sneakerheads, and they pretty much have nothing but sneakers in their store, in their eBay store, and they resell sneakers. So I find this article pretty interesting. The headline is Nike is King in the Sneaker Resale Department per eBay Shopping Report. The article goes on, the sneaker resale industry is showing no signs of slowing down, according to eBay's 2018 shopping reports revealed today, and highlights trends on the e-commerce site. Thanks to Virgil Abloh Off-White collabs and Air Jordan sneakers, Nike didn't suffer an off year. eBay reports that in 2018, more than 40,000 pairs of sneakers are sold each day on that site, with Nike and Adidas being the most popular brands being searched for by potential customers. Air Jordan moved over 500,000 sneakers on that site despite concerns of oversaturation in the sneaker market. Now, if you follow a bunch of resellers, let's say like the Hustlebee is 100% in as far as sneakers. That's all he sells is sneakers. Hustler Hacks, I say about 90-95% of his store sneakers, and the other 5-10% is jerseys and other stuff on there. The report also reveals that a pair of Air Jordan Kobe PE sold for $20,000 on the site this year. And that $20,000. Whoa. I would love to know who that seller was. That probably made his year. And that Virgil Abloh Off-White's Nike collaboration sold for 38,500 pairs of sneakers on that site. It didn't sell for $38,000. So they sold 38,500 pairs of sneakers. Oh, and our Concerned Champion and Supreme racked up 30,000 searches a day. So if you got any Champion or Supreme out there, they're looking them up. I definitely looking for it's, you know, Supreme is the hot brand right now. Champion is really stepping up their game and trying to get into the competition of like Nike and Adidas. But I actually found a pair, not a pair, but a Champion t-shirt. It was pretty cool looking at Goodwill. The article breaks it down. It says per eBay, and it has different categories that eBay breaks it down to. And it has most popular, what they call grails of the year, cash for kicks, and brand love wins, I guess a certain brand. We'll start off with most popular. Nike and Adidas continue to lead the pack with style, top styles driving sales of collectible sneakers in the tens of thousands. In fact, 500,000 Air Jordans were sold this year alone. That's one pair every minute. So count to 60, a pair. Grails of the year. Let's see what this is about. Taking the spot for most sought after style this year was Nike Air Max 197 Sean Witherspoon. The most expensive pair sold in 2018 is the Nike Air Jordan Kobe PEs, what I just mentioned in an article, sold for $20,000. A player's exclusive from 2002 in Kobe size. Cash for kicks, another category. Collectible sneaker sales show no sign of slowing down. eBay shoppers are purchasing more than 370 pairs of sneakers, over $250 per day. The next category is brand love wins. We'll see what this is about. This was a 76% increase in eBay sales of Champion sweatshirts in the last 90 days. Now, I just mentioned Champion stepping up their game. And collab favorite Supreme racked up over 30,000 searches per day. So I guess this is a bolo. I guess they're trying to get a bolo out in Supreme. Let's see. And Virgil Vision. This was a big year for the industry's most sought-after designer. In addition to being named director of menswear this year, Virgil launched multiple off-white sneaker styles and designed the tutu outfit Serena Williams wore at the U.S. Open. eBay sold 38,500 pairs of off-white sneakers. I just mentioned that. That's five pairs per hour, an average of $289 per pair. The most expensive off-white sold on off-white X Air Jordan 1s, in quotations, the 10. Or $3,409. And then it goes on. Who said the sneaker resale game is looking shaky? It seems quite profitable according to those numbers. And it does. I mean, if you ask my opinion, sneakers are never going to slow down. I think people just, especially guys love their sneakers. You know, I'm not a huge sneaker fan. I know sneakerhead. I know a little bit about sneakers, but not too much. But I'm slowly learning the sneaker game here because it's profitable. So if you're looking to get into the resale game, I would say look into reselling shoes. So that's pretty much it for eBay. Now let's go on weird listing of the week. Now it's time to go over my weekly sales. Sales were okay. They weren't the best. Right now, my sales are actually down 2%, which is weird because it's Q4. So I don't know what the heck is going on. I had no sales over the weekend. The week I had a few. But I'm going to go over some of the ones that I missed from my previous podcast. The one podcast that I couldn't publish. To a couple of recent ones I just got. So let's start off with Forever Collectibles. It's a lot of two NFL Dallas Cowboy Christmas stockings, new with tags. Actually, my wife found those, I believe. Let's see. They were sold via promoted listings, so I did promote them and I did sell them. I had them up for $34.99. Took a best offer of $27. Reason is they're two Christmas stockings and they're easy to ship. It only cost a couple bucks. So it was a pretty good flip on that one. Goodwill bins, that's where we found them, or my wife found it. If you're not following me on Instagram, you need to follow my Instagram. But I did put this up recently. It was the Vegas Strong UFC men's black t-shirt. And it sold for $22. And the t-shirt, proceeds to this t-shirt are going straight to the 1 October shooting fund. I think it's called the Route 91 Music Festival or Harvest Festival. I think I put Harvest Festival. I don't know why. But all the proceeds went to that, donated to that fund. So, you know, it helps the victims and the victims' families from that tragic shooting. Next up is a Harley Davidson woman's red long sleeve button down shirt. The front had Harley Davidson embroidered on the left side of the pocket, and in the back has a huge embroidered Harley Davidson. And it was a woman's shirt, and it sold for $29.99. Picked this up at the Goodwill bins. Didn't know what it was at first. I just saw a red shirt, pulled it out, and I said Harley Davidson on it, embroidered. And I'm like, oh, looked it over. It was a little dirty, so I did clean it up a little. And it sold within a few days of listing. I'd say less than a week, and it sold for $29, and that's what I listed it for. Next up is a pair of Rockport women's black suede penny loafers. Goodwill bins. Again, found one shoe, couldn't find the other. Finally found it. All you people or resellers know, if you go to Goodwill bins, the shoe bins, there's never any shoes that are together. You got to really search for them. Found it, sold it for $25. It was the best offer, and it shipped it off to his new home. It was a small size 7, so it took a while for it to sell. 7.5 actually. And they were a pretty nice looking pair of shoes, and cleaned them up and sold. $25, I'll take it. Next up is they're called the Disney Catalog black corduroy overalls. And in front, it had embroidered or patched on, I'm not really sure. I think it was patched on. 101 Dalmatians. I had the dogs right in front of the overalls. Only thing is, it had a flaw in these overalls. It had a broken or missing button on the side of the overalls. And I did list that. And I have mentioned this before. If there's a flaw in it and you're going to list it, make sure you mention the flaw in the description, that it does have a flaw, because you don't want to sell something with an obvious flaw. Gets to the buyer, the buyer's going to leave you a bad feedback. So just make sure you list the flaw in there. Next up is a United Football League men's short sleeve Sacramento Lions Culpepper jersey. It was one of those promotional jerseys. Dante Culpepper, who used to play for Minnesota Vikings, I believe. I want to say the Raiders for like a half a season or something. And United Football League, I found it at Savers, and that was priced high. It was priced at $17.99 with my 20% off. I think it brought it down to like $15. But there was a few listings for way over $100. And so I decided to take a chance on it. I did put it in my Insta story. It's like, should I pick it up or shouldn't I just leave it? And I was like overwhelming, just, you know, no, don't pick it up. It, you know, it's not well, doesn't sell, whatever. So, but I had this weird feeling that it was going to. I didn't know it was going to sell this fast, but it did. I had it up for $149, which I listed pretty high. There was one listing that was $199, and it didn't have any watchers or anything like that. There was another one for like $249 or something like that. So that's like, you know what? I'm just going to list it at $149 and see what happens. Then sure enough, an offer came in for $100. I'm like, I'll accept. Because I don't think I'm going to get a better offer unless someone just buys it straight out for $149. But, you know, someone offered me a C-note. So I was like, I'm going to take it. You know, so I sold it $100, and it only cost a couple bucks to ship because it's pretty light. And it's off to its new home. He actually gave me a good feedback on that. So It was a win-win, big W on that one. Pretty nice flip. Next one is a Paul Smith men's blue long sleeve polo shirt. Large, size large. It says on the listing, size large. Now, why am I saying that? I got a negative feedback on it. And it, I should have screenshotted the negative feedback, because it was, I don't think it was an appropriate negative feedback, because there was nothing wrong with the shirt. The shirt was a large. I did put the measurements in the description, but they leave me a bad feedback saying, doesn't fit as a large, fits extra small. And I was just like, what? Extra small? No, it's like, so I went back to the listing after I got the negative feedback, and I was like, did I maybe mistakenly put, was the shirt an extra small, and I mistakenly put large? So I looked at it, and I'm like, it's large on the listing, and I'm looking at the photos, and I always take a photo of the size tag. Yeah, it's a large. I'm like, what the heck? What, this guy weighed like 600 pounds or something, and trying to fit into a large? But he left a negative feedback. So I was like, I was like, no, this is not right. This is not a feedback that should be left on there. So I called eBay. Explained the situation. And I go, look, the guy left the feedback saying it was an extra small shirt, a Paul Smith long sleeve polo. And the rep, the eBay reps are amazing, by the way. They're amazing. I know a lot of people have issues with reps, but I've called eBay a few times and I've never gotten any grief from eBay. So they looked it up. I'm like, I don't feel it's an appropriate negative feedback, because it's a large. I go, the pictures say large. The measurements are there in the description. They're like, okay, Mr. Gonzalez, we'll take a look. So she puts me on hold for like not even 2-3 minutes. She comes back and she says, yeah, your listing does say large and the pictures do show it's a large polo shirt. I'm like, yeah. She goes, okay, we're going to go ahead and remove the negative feedback on there. I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like, thank you very much. I was like, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. And hung up with the rep. So checking my eBay account, like right after I got off my phone, I checked it, negative feedback was gone. It was just instantly gone. I go, you know what? I should have took a screenshot of it, so put it in Instagram, because it was awesome. Because I was at 100% feedback until then. So when I got that negative feedback, it dropped it down to like 99.4% for one negative feedback. I'm like, this ain't happening. No way. So they took it off. So my feedback is back at 100%. And I've got a couple more feedbacks in the past week saying how they, you know, love their items that they got. So I don't know what this guy was thinking. He does have 31 feedbacks I can see from here. And I don't know if he was just trying to mess with me, or, you know, maybe he should look at the description and look at the measurements next time or something. I'm not really sure what was going on with that, but he gave me a negative feedback, but eBay took it off. So that's my story on that. Next up is a Oingo Boingo burgundy short sleeve graphic t-shirt. This thing sold in like a couple of days. Listed for $19.99. That's exactly what I got. Got it at the Goodwill. I think, did I find it or my wife find it? I think my wife found it. She always finds the good stuff. So he finally goes, oh, look, Oingo Boingo. I'm like, yeah, keep it. It's Oingo Boingo. And if you guys don't know who Oingo Boingo is, it's an old 80s band back in the day. And the frontman of Oingo Boingo was Danny Elfman. Now, if Danny Elfman sounds familiar, Danny Elfman went on to do music, or not music scores, movie scores. He did movie scores for Men in Black. He did for Tim Burton's Batman. Nightmare Before Christmas. He was the voice of, or the, not the voice of Jack, but when Jack was singing in the Nightmare Before Christmas, that was Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman's voice. So he was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo in the 80s. Think of, yeah, a song like Dead Man's Party, stuff like that. Next up is Majestic Diamonds, Diamond Collection, Philadelphia Phillies jersey. It's a red jersey, and it has Phillies stitched in the front. Found it at Savers, and it was pretty good pickup. It was like the mesh red jersey, and I listed it for $29, took a best offer of $25. Pretty cool looking jersey. It's by Majestic, short sleeve jersey, extra large, so it was a good size too. Next up is, this one had a bunch of watchers, like forever on it, and it took a couple months to sell. But it sold for $59.99, which is exactly what I was asking for. It was a Hoka 1 Bondi 4 running shoes, teal and metal green colorway. I found these at Savers. I think I bought them for... I really need to put these in the SKU. $12? Because I looked at the comps and the listings. They were going for like... New ones were going for like $99. And used ones were going for like $45 to $60. So I listed high, $59. And that's exactly what I got. So I paid $12 for it, flipped it for $59. So pretty good flip on that one. Next up, Rock Revival jeans. Gwen Boot dark jeans with the flat pockets, size 29. Picked these up at the California. When I had my California trip, I picked them up at a thrift store there. Paid like $5 for them and sold them for $40. Best offer of $40. I think I had them up for $49. These were one of the jeans that got returned to me. And it, as soon as it returned, I looked them over, refunded the buyer, and immediately I relisted because it's Rock Revival. I know someone's going to want to buy them. And sure enough, I say within a week or two, it sold for $40. I took a best offer. Next up is Zana DI, women's blue denim flare leg patchwork jeans. Now the patchwork are in the below the knee, and I'll show this on my Instagram. Below the knee, and as soon as I listed them, I got a bunch of watchers forever. Took over a month to sell. Got them at the Goodwill bins, and I knew they were different when I picked them up, and because it had all the like the patchwork on the bottom leg of the jeans, and I go, someone's gonna want these. They're like flared out, almost bell bottom, 100% cotton, size 13, which is a fairly decent size, and sold them for $40. And you know, of course, my Goodwill bins, I get everything for less than a buck because I get these huge hauls. And usually I'll get 35 to 45 items, and usually if I break it down, it's less than a dollar. And last up is a burgundy long sleeve blouse. It's not very interesting, just a typical burgundy long sleeve woman's blouse. Took forever to sell. $16.99, and ships it off to its new home. And that's pretty much it for my sales. My sales are a little slow right now, so I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, this week and the next week they'll pick up a little, getting closer to Thanksgiving and Black Friday. But until then, I'm just going to keep listening and listening and listing. I got a bunch of toys to list, a bunch of clothes to list, so got to keep on doing that. And that's pretty much it for my sales. And next up is some eBay news. It is now time for a weird listing of the week. This one is pretty odd, bizarre. The title of this listing is legally rename me whatever you want. I couldn't even get that out. Legally rename me whatever you want. That's what the head or the title says. And he's auctioning off his name to... given his name to someone else, in return, the other person can rename this person whatever they want. and it has a picture of his driver's license, which is odd to me that you would do that. And the description is, it says, okay, there are two parts of this listing. First, I'm listing my name, Andrew Nicholas Stufen, which, well, I will let you legally have if you choose. Secondly, I'm giving you my name. I will change my name legally to whatever you want. You can name me after your dead cat. You can name me after a serial killer, a kid in high school whose feet smelled. And this is the guy's description, what he's writing. You can name me after Ted Cruz or some other horrid political figure. You can name me Nancy Kerrigan, Donald Trump. You can name me Jesus Christ. You can literally give me any name. And he said, it's all up to you. And then he writes a backstory. I was named Andrew after my father, who was a douche. If you look hard enough, you'll find the weirdest stuff on eBay. My middle name is Nicholas after my grandfather, who was, all by all accounts, a bit of a bastard as well. And my last name is Dutch, but I'm not even Dutch. Why did he write his last name as Stufen? Soufen. Let me look at his driver's license. I don't know what he meant by Dutch. You can have part of it or all of it. It's up to you, he says. The name could be yours in all its glory if you choose. The possibilities are endless. You can rename me Dumbface or Rover or any number of cuss words. You can name me a number or a symbol like Prince. Oh my God. I will also throw in my diary for shits and giggles. And it says happy bidding. And I'll put it on my Instagram. You can see the guy's driver's license. He's from New York City or the state of New York. And you can bid on his name for $22,000, which surprisingly has no bids. And it has like the driver's license from Georgia, and now it has one from New York. But he does have 16 feedbacks. I wonder what else he's sold on here. So if you want to change your name to Andrew Nicholas Stufen, you can go to this listing. The seller's name is Andrew Stufen underscore zero. And this guy's an idiot. If anybody bids on this, they're more of an idiot. But nothing surprises me anymore. This is truly insane. I'll put my name up for bid. And you can have it, but you can name me whatever. But I'll put this on my Instagram. You guys can see that. You could leave me a feedback or leave me a message on Instagram. Tell me what you guys think about someone putting their driver's license up on eBay, saying you can rename me whatever you want in exchange for you to have my you can have my name for $22,000. I personally would not do that. That's just mind-numbingly stupid. It's got the guy's face. It's got where he lives, his date of birth, his expiration date. Oh my God. This is moronic. But yeah, you can take a look at it. You can take a look at my Instagram. I'll put it on there. But that's my weird listing of the week. I want to thank Zach, the Hustle and Muscle, for coming on. I truly appreciate it. Enjoyed listening to his story and his journey as a reseller. I want to thank everybody out there for supporting the show. I thank you very, very, very much. Never in my wildest dreams that I think I would have 21 episodes of this podcast. I just wanted people to follow my journey as a reseller and to listen to other resellers and their journey as they go along reselling and making a business and working for themselves and being a true entrepreneur. And I really appreciate you guys listening and supporting the show again. It's really it's I'm humbled by it, and I really appreciate it. Thank you guys. And I'll see you guys next week, next Sunday. And keep on hustling, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.